Hey guys, what's going on? This is Taz. Hope everybody's doing real well. Thank you for downloading this edition of my show or subscribing to my show. I appreciate it. I'm going to give you my reaction real quick. The show technically didn't start yet. My reaction to WWE's show, Extreme Rules. I want to react while I got done taping the show. Just found out that Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, the great Billy Corgan, is a full-time endeavor with TNA Wrestling. So congratulations to Billy Corgan and I guess TNA. So hopefully that works out for them. Hope everything goes good. I'll give my more detailed thoughts and opinions down the road about it. Just wanted to acknowledge it. So hope it works out for those guys. Stay tuned right here. Gonna kick ass with WWE Extreme Rules reaction coming at you.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York.
He's a three-time world heavyweight champion who ruled by intimidation.
Beat me if you can survive if I let you.
Taz would pick up guys nearly twice his size and drop them on their heads.
He is the human suplex machine.
Now he's bringing his no-nonsense New York swagger to the podcast world. This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. Thank you for downloading and or subscribing. This is he, Taz, and thank you very much for jumping on here and listening to this episode of reaction to the Extreme Rules, WWE Extreme Rules show, the pay-per-view that was on the WWE Network, or I guess you can pay for it, pay-per-view it someplace. I'm not really knowing how that works. But you can do that, I would assume. It was interesting. I thought it was a very... I liked the show. I mean, I know some people didn't like the show. Some people love the show. I liked the show. I look at it like... Look at this whole $9.99 thing with the WWE Network. It's... Everybody in life... I'm not saying I agree with this. It's about what kind of bang do you get for your buck. Look at, man. What kind of bang you getting for your buck here with the WWE Network? You're getting all these shows. And yet, people are still coming out and at times complaining about it. Or as I like to say, bitching about a free lunch. It's kind of like the podcasting world. You know, I come out here, not just me, other guys, so you drop all these podcasts, it's free. It's free. And people say, you did this wrong. You shouldn't have did that. Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I'm from the world of you don't bitch about a free lunch. So, I mean, yeah, sure. You listen to some sponsor ads and my advertisers, which I encourage you to support because, you know, I believe in them. And they're what would drive the show. And you fans would really drive the show. But, you know, some people got to make money around here, you know. And the same thing with WWE Network. You know, it's like you shouldn't complain about something you're paying $9.99 for. It's not a lot of money. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck with that stuff. Not trying to be a guy was just waving a WWE flag. I'm being honest about it. I'm sitting there logging into my account on the WWE Network. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm watching WrestleMania on this thing. I mean, Seth, jump in here. I know you got the network recently, right?
I did. And, you know, if you're a wrestling fan and you love wrestling, you got nothing to complain about.
No.
I guess the only thing to complain about is that, you know, sometimes it stuttered a little bit. You know, the feed was a little...
They call that a buffering stream Schnabitz-Furnum.
Yeah.
What that's technically called.
I'm not a big fan of the Schnabitz-Furnum.
Neither am I, but I hate it. Yeah, no, I know. I don't know why it happens. I mean, sometimes it does happen, but I guess... You know, it's not like, you know...
That'll get better as time goes on. How many people are getting that stream? That's what it is, too. The more traffic comes to it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's you know, it's not like Vinny Carlucci's doing this in his basement in Canarsie, and it's going to, like, 20 people in Flatbush, Canarsie, and Ozone Park and Howard Beach.
I went to high school with Vinny Carlucci.
There you go. I didn't know that. So I knew a guy who worked for WWE who was my first stage manager when I first started doing a commentary named Tom Carlucci. I think it was Carlucci. Worked for many, many years for the WWE, actually. It's funny you said I said that name. It's amazing. I'm ahead of my own brain. It's like, you know what I mean, Seth? Like, I'm so smart. Like, I could say things that I know I'm going to say down the road, and I say it before I get to the road.
I'm in awe. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Awe.
You're an off. Okay. On that note, so yeah, we'll talk a little about the show over here, a little reaction to Extreme Rules. You know, it's kind of like if you go back in time, right? Now, I'm not a big historian, as many of you know, but if you go back in time, I believe the inspiration back in the day for WWE with Extreme Rules was the ECW. Right, if you remember correctly,
one night stand.
The one night stand. There you go. And you know when it was forward that WWE bought the ECW brand name and bought all the tape library, the whole nine yards. They came out with Extreme Rules, which I think they're doing a good job still bringing forward hardcore style wrestling, moving furniture as we call it in the biz. You know, some weaponry. Meaning hit people with weapons. You know, tables, ladders, chairs, all that stuff, kendo sticks. You know, we saw just about all that stuff on Extreme Rules except blood, which, you know, I think there was no blood, right?
No, and I thought about that when I was watching. It's funny you say that because I thought, when's the last time you had extreme matches with no blood? I mean, it's just a new business.
It's a new world. It's, yeah. I do not blame the WWE. I know when I was in TNA, I mean, there was some blood at times, and a lot of times, and you'll see blood. I think just recently in WWE, I don't remember the match.
Brock.
Was it Brock? It was a hard way. Right, it was Brock with the post, the ring post. Yep. That was Mania, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it was like, you know, WWE had to put out a statement about it. Sometimes it's a physical business. I've said it a billion times. You know, we are a hybrid of actors, athletes, you know, and it's
stuntmen.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to get that. You kind of said that instead of saying stuntmen, you kind of said like you had a list, a stuntman.
Thanks for having me, Taz.
So sometimes you're going to get some bloodshed that's going to happen, but last night we didn't. And I think it's okay. I didn't sit there and say, oh my God, Extreme Rules, oh my God, look at all these weapons, oh my God, look at all these crazy matches, oh my God, there's no blood, I'm pissed off. I didn't say that. So to me, I didn't even think of blood.
I wasn't pissed, I just thought about it, because, you know, watching ECW growing up, like, there was blood every time.
Now, so that's true. Well, that was kind of what we had to do.
Yeah.
That was, we had to get on a map. We had to get our attention because we had to do things that other people weren't doing because we didn't have the money, you know, and the penetration TV-wise that WWE did or WCW did and stuff like that. So we had to get attention. And that one of the ways was violent car crash matches, blood, sex, sexiness, I should say. You know, scantily clad.
There you go.
Scantily clad tomatoes. We had to do that sometimes, you know what I mean? But I digress. So I think WWE did the right thing earlier before the show, pre-show they did it, and even online, I don't remember if it was on Twitter or whatever, there was a statement put out, for lack of better terms, that Daniel Bryan would not be able to compete in the Intercontinental title match. And I think that was smart they did that. You know, back in the day, wrestling companies, not too long ago either, would hide stuff like this. Well, let's not say nothing. Let's just ignore it. I'm not just saying WWE, a lot of companies. But now, because the WWE universe and also just wrestling fans in general, the internet, the power of social media, you cannot go out there and just BS people no more, you know?
Nope.
And all these wrestling companies, not just WWE, are smart enough now to just be honest and come forward because people can appreciate and respect honesty.
Well, real wrestling fans know it's a rough business, and we know that Daniel Bryan's come back from serious injury, so.
Right, and they handled it right. You know, it's the shoot of it, I guess, right? He was basically unable to compete, and they hit that in a pre-show, and, you know, who took his spot in the match to compete against Wade Barrett? My man Neville. God, I love this guy, man. He is just so talented, and the match was earlier in the pre-show gimmick, and it was, man, what a match. Did you see it?
I didn't see that match.
Wow, dude, you gotta watch.
I got home at 8 o'clock. I'll watch it. I'll definitely follow up and watch. I just got home at 7:57. I got home. I was like, I gotta fire this thing up.
I didn't even realize
there was a pre-match.
I didn't realize you actually do other things besides doing radio stuff and watch wrestling.
Well, you caught me 20 years too late. Now I got family and stuff. Yeah, I could try.
You got like 20 kids.
Yeah, something like that. I'm adopting 5 more next week.
Anybody
need a home out there?
You got to buy like a school bus, one of those like a Partridge Family.
Partridge Family.
Yeah, like a yellow like school bus with painted
Hello
orange.
The world is a song that I'm singing.
Yeah, any fans under 50 have no idea what we're talking about. So, but I know what you're talking about.
David Cassidy got a lot of tail back in the 70s.
That's true, but you digress.
Yes.
Listen, man, I'm telling you right now, Wade Barrett, and I knew it, and I tweeted it out. When I knew Wade Barrett was going to wrestle Neville, Oh, man, what a match. Dude, you got to check this match out. I'm telling you. It was great stuff. Neville is just... And he won the match. Neville won the match.
That's a miracle. You said they should keep making him lose.
No knock on the guy. I love the guy. I'm saying, but it's the guy's getting over just by his in-ring work, his look, his physique, his face, his hair. He's a unique-looking cat, not a giant guy, you know, but just so highly athletic, man. He's stout, put together.
Good shape.
But he won the match. And you know what? I mean, to get a victory on someone who's a multi-time, whatever, Intercontinental champ, I think Barrett, six times, yeah. You know? Very impressive. Barrett's a stud, too. So it was a great match. I enjoyed that.
It's a lot of talent in the company, man. Just it's hard to say who should win, who should lose anymore, you know?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, and to your point, I think that's something to talk about briefly is that's the way it should be. Because that shows when you have a locker room, and there's several companies like that where you have enough talent that you never know who's going to win a match or lose a match. That's the true competitive environment you want to sell, right? You want to promote, you know? And I think that WWE's accomplishing that, and I think they did that in this show. Because sometimes, like in a couple of matches, I didn't think somebody was going to win that one match. I was surprised. I really was. Before we get into some of the matches, and you know how we do this, Seth, I don't go break down every single match in the order. We talk organically out here. Did you like the show or not?
Yes, I liked it.
You did.
I didn't love it. I liked it. But it was good. There's big enough moments in the show that you thought you got your bang for your buck.
Right.
Like I know you like the Roman Reigns big show thing, and that was really cool.
It was. We'll get at that in a few minutes. I thought it was really cool, and I didn't think that was going to be as cool as it was, but I was incorrect, and those guys I thought did really, really did a great, great job. You know, I thought it was interesting what the Chicago Street Fight with Ambrose and Luke Harper.
Great way to start the show.
Yeah, really, man. I mean, Ambrose got a gigantic pop, like an insane pop. No shocker. And he showed up. He did a little peekaboo appearance on the pre-show. And, you know, told Byron Saxton to get out, and he sat in Byron's chair, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
ouch. No, I like Byron Saxton. He's better in the role he's in there on the pre-show and post-show. He does a good job there. Anyway, so he showed up there, did Ambrose, and then, anyway, he comes out during a match, kicks the thing off, and, you know, he and Harper, very interesting thing. They worked real hard, very physical, you know, kendo sticks, steel chairs, all this stuff. But then they go backstage. You see them go through the gorilla position and the backstage area.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, you go backstage a little bit. And I said recently, TNA's been doing stuff like that, doing a good job of that, pulling back the curtain as the cliche goes, right? And Harper, now I've been backstage at the All-State Arena in Chicago. This show was from Chicago, Extreme Rules. I should have said that at the top, but... Then again, I'm not a professional broadcaster, so we got to find one. So I should have laid that out. But in the Chicago, in that building there, I knew exactly where they were. I knew where that ramp was. And Michael Cole, I think, pointed it out when they pulled away in that SUV. But it does take you out kind of to the parking lot more than the street. And then the street, you pull up this big ramp, and then there's a big parking lot to your left, and then you make an extreme right, pun intended, and you're in the streets of Chicago, basically. Well, Rosemont. You're in the streets of Rosemont, which leads to Chicago. You're in the streets. That's all that matters. So, anyway, I was a little surprised. It was kind of cool. There was this big black SUV sitting there, and Luke Harper jumps in there. I was more amazed how he got in the passenger door, and that big bastard somehow made it over the middle console and got into the driver's seat. How did he do that quick?
I don't know. He is a big guy.
They didn't show it? I don't know how he did that.
No, you couldn't see.
That's a large guy. I mean, I know it's a big truck. It was like a Yukon or whatever he got in, like a fancy Escalade or Yukon, whatever it was. Anyway, he got in there.
It took him a minute to get going, so maybe that's why he's getting over that thing.
I don't know why they didn't mess with the camera shot, why he didn't run around the front of the car or something to get in the driver's seat.
Well, he threw Dean out, so maybe he probably said, Dean.
I forgot about that. Oh, Dean was in there first?
Well, no. He got in, and Dean got in, and he threw Dean out, and Dean came back, jumped in again. That's when it took
off.
That's
why I got confused.
So he probably said, Dean, get out. I need a minute.
That could be. I don't know. It don't matter. It was cool, and they zip away. So now they shoot to it on camera with the announcers, and... The building started booing, popping, a little mixed reviews there, and I don't remember exactly what the announcer said. They did a good job of teasing.
That's tough for the live audience, right?
Yeah,
we don't see that, you know?
Listen,
I've been to the
man.
Grammys before. It's the same thing. It's a TV show. It's shot for the audience at TV.
Right.
Right? So that was a TV spot.
You're correct. And that's why, and I'll give you a little secret here. In the business, with the companies that do things the right way. Any big moments, anything where someone has to say something that's vital or important, you always want that done in the middle of the ring, in the middle of the arena, not backstage in a pre-tape or whatever in this day and age on Skype or something that's a pre-tape that was done earlier in the day. You want it in front of the people. It's the grand stage. You want that natural reaction. You know what I mean? And I think that's to your point, that's true. And I know it's a very sensitive issue amongst creative teams in wrestling. When we have to do something where we're going to leave the building or go backstage with a fight. Remember all those years I was in WWE doing all those hardcore matches for the hardcore championship and all that stuff. There was always an issue like, oh, God. We're going to leave the arena. Okay, we got to go backstage. We're going to lose the people. You know, that's important because people in the building, especially during that time, we were getting 12, 13, 15,000 people at TV shows, you know, in the live house. So last night was a packed house at Allstate in Chicago. And once you do leave that ringside area, you know, it pisses people off that paid for those tickets. So anyway, next thing you know, boom, here comes the SUV, and Harper and Ambrose start fighting again. Ambrose comes off top of the SUV, takes out the New Day, the place pops, and we'll get into that later on, because New Day wasn't really loved. I don't know what that noise was, but it was pretty funny. But anyway, it was great, and then they got into some more, they came out towards the ringside area, did the Ambrose and Luke Harper, and just got real physical, and buried under the steel chairs, and all that stuff. Cringing as watching Ambrose under the steel chairs as I see, you know, Luke Harper throwing steel chairs on top of Ambrose. Like, oh my God, I'm cringing watching this. And because I've never been stuck under steel chairs, but it definitely can't be fun. I know guys who have been, and I'm just cringing watching it. Because see, the steel chairs, the weapons, they don't know how to work. Like wrestle, like they don't know, they don't cooperate. Neither does a Russian chain or chain. And we're gonna get into that. I'm gonna get into that later on during that match about when you're in a match, what furniture or weapons and stuff like that. It's a lot harder than people think. But anyway, back to Ambrose and what happened with him and Luke Harper. I mean, I thought it was a really real good that they came back to the arena, came back out, did their thing, finished the match. I would have liked to seen the match not finished there. Them spiel out into the back again, kind of like it was with, the hardcore matches we did back in the day in WWE days, F days, I should say, and then finish the match later on in the show. But they buttoned it up right there, and I guess it was cool. I thought both Harper and Ambrose did a great job in the street fight. They worked hard, man. They worked hard. Kendo sticks, steel chairs, like I said, you know, all that stuff. I mean, did you enjoy it, or what'd you think?
It was awesome. That Luke, I told you, we talked earlier, that Luke Harper suplexed Dean Ambrose under the chair. I feel like the chair almost pierced Ambrose, like it pierced him right in the chest.
Well, that's, again, the dangers of it, like I'm saying, like the stuff don't know how to work. You
that
know
made
what I mean?
Me,
like,
that made me cringe. Yeah.
It's scary. You got to be careful. I mean, I've been injured with stuff like that. I mean, not by a steel chair in that regard, but others, like tables and wood and splinters and apron skirts landing on them. I mean, it gets crazy. I mean, it's more dangerous than people think. And you know, I got to tell you, really was thinking about the whole Kiss My Ass match that was going to come up. And I'm like, I don't know how good of a match this is going to be. I know Ziggler's awesome. Sheamus is a big dude. Sometimes Sheamus can have great matches. Sometimes, they're okay. But I got to tell you, Sheamus, his new look, the heel persona, his music, the mohawk, the Bob Marley Rasta braids in his goatee, his beard. I love the whole thing. I love his persona, and I think these guys had a tremendous match. I enjoyed it.
You know, now you mentioned that, it seems like that's missing in wrestling a lot. Like the weird hair, like the, you know. The,
yeah, outlandish, crazy.
You don't have those looks and gimmicks as much anymore as you used to.
Well, you're right, and I think guys and companies are trying to make people wrestlers and stuff look more entertaining.
Athletes,
correct, and more reality-based over the past 15, 10 years, whatever. And that's a good analysis or observation, I should say, by you, that a guy like Sheamus is almost like a throwback with the giant pro wrestling mohawk and the braids and his pale skin. You know, he's a big, giant guy, like 6'5"-ish. You know, a big, thick dude, big, powerful guy. But then again, Ziggler, just a pure athlete. There was a spot in the match where that no one made a big deal out of. The announcers didn't really sell it hard because it was tough. They were moving on, I guess, getting ready to go into the finish of the match, where I believe that Sheamus had not a sharpshooter. I'm trying to remember back. It might have been like a Texas cloverleaf type of submission hold.
Or a four-leaf clover.
A four-leaf clover.
Yeah, for Sheamus.
Exactly. Not Texas. More of a Dublin cloverleaf lock. And I don't know. I'm sure Sheamus has a name for the move. I don't know the name for the move. I'm sure people are ripping me on Twitter as I say this and they listen to this. Yeah, the name is the... I didn't know that.
Do your homework.
Do your homework, you jabroni. So, yeah. So, the thing is, man, the way that Ziggler countered out of this bad boy... He scooted through the ab strength, and the camera shot was great. The camera work on this, just if you go back and watch this match in Extreme Rules with Ziggler and Sheamus, watch the counter out of that submission, that leg submission. Again, I think it was a Texas cloverleaf, I believe. And I didn't write it down. I guess I should have. You know, I got a problem with the writing down thing. Somebody called me out on that. A fan on Twitter is like, well, shouldn't you write things down because then that means you're prepared?
We don't have pens here.
No, but I, you know, Seth... Tell people, what do I come to the studio with?
Your brain.
Right. And every once in a blue moon, I'll have a piece of paper.
And he's had 7 concussions, so he's doing the best he can. Leave the guy alone. Give the guy a break, all right?
That's a good point.
Download if he lets you.
And I'm also a product of the New York City's public school system. So,
but I digress.
But I digress. Yes. So that alone with the concussions, yeah, that's why I don't write because I don't know how. No, I'm kidding. No, but I want to be organic. I want to be real. I'm not an actor. I can't write stuff and be contrived.
I think for the most part people like that.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, well, this one fan didn't. I don't know. He really, I want to make him happy. Just him.
Oh, geez. The one with 14 followers?
Yeah.
I know there was 11 followers.
I want to make that one cat happy, I promise. No, but the Sheamus Ziggler match, you know, the whole kiss my arse thing. You know, at first I was like, I'm not a fan of these things. And then I'm looking around. I'm watching it on the network. I'm watching the crowd. I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of little kids there. And they're going to do the kiss my ass thing and all this stuff. I know they've done this in the past. It builds more intrigue in the match, puts more heat on Sheamus. I understand how this works. Then they swerved everybody with the nut shot. Sheamus like, I'm not doing it. I thought they sold it great leading up to it.
But show them.
No, hold on. They took their time.
Yeah.
No, the company gave them time. Sheamus and Ziggler. They took their time, and you have to sell it. You know, you heard Ziggler say, this was your idea.
I like that. And Sheamus had great facial expressions at the time.
Sure
he looked like, oh. Like,
no, he did a great job. Yeah. But the reason why both those cats and the ref did a great job is because they were allowed the time. That's a big, 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 big thing.
It's a great point.
Now, boom, here comes the nut shot. The heel says, I'm not doing it. The hell with you, yada, yada, yada. Knocks the dude out, hits him with the bro kick, makes him kiss his arse, meaning the heel, the babyface kisses the heel's arse.
It's more like a Rikishi kind of rub.
Yeah, it was a stinkiest faces. Yeah. Right, so the thing is now, I'm like, they're leading up to building this. I'm like, God. The parent in me is like, oh, this is bad. You got a lot of little kids there. Come on, what are we doing here? It's 2015. And then the camera pans, and I see all those little kids with cameras laughing and cheering. Their moms are holding them. They're laughing and cheering, taking pictures. I'm like, well, what do I know?
No, you were right. No, the parents there are a little bit, I don't know. You know, wrestling's on late at night. It's PG, but come on. You know, I'm not letting my kids watch grown men kiss each other's ass. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I love WWE. I got the network. I'm supporting. But I got to draw the line.
I hear you. I understand that. Some of these parents with young kids disagree. And they're part of the WWE universe. They pay the bills.
I can't tell them how to raise their kids.
It's to each his own. It's definitely to each his own. I agree. But I'm sitting there saying to myself, man, this is bad. God, little kids. And then they show, I'm laughing to myself because there's these moms like, yeah, kid with this. You know, holding this little kid and he's got a lollipop and he's smiling like, what do I know? You know what I mean? Like, I guess the universe knows better than me.
No school today. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, well, no, whatever. But if you got a kid going to a wrestling show and he's staying up till midnight,
hey,
it's a good chance he's not doing well in school. But you never know.
Hey, county colleges need to stay in business too.
Well, yeah, but hey, listen, you know what? So you have your kid go to a show, go to a wrestling show, he stays up late. Maybe the kid's got good attendance. You pull him out of school the next day. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, they ain't doing that.
Look at me. I went to school when I was a kid like half the year. I didn't go all the time.
What were you doing another time?
At the deli on the corner. The deli, bro.
Hey, pastrami and rye. Hey,
no,
Sal.
Man, a good German deli, right? In East New York.
Give me bratwurst.
No, bro, they had the best German deli. Best German potato salad. German deli right down the block. Bro, I just hang out in the deli all day.
School of hard knocks.
Yeah, then I go to class a little bit, come back out. Yeah, you know, it was good. Went to football practice. Always in the weight room.
Oh, that's good. You don't want to miss that.
Thank God my son takes after my wife. That's all I'm going to say. Because he's nothing like I was. Thank God.
So, yeah, well, you'd kill him if he was.
Yeah, you're right. I would. But anyway, look, let's take a break. We'll come right back, talk about the rest of the matches on Extreme Rules. We got to get into, obviously, the world title match with Seth Rollins and Randy Orton, the Steel Cage, and John Cena and Rusev, the Russian Chain match. Definitely want to talk about the Divas match a little bit. And what else we want to talk about? What am I missing?
Cage match.
Cage match we hit. I want to talk about last New Day. Want to talk about New Day?
New Day.
We're going to talk about that. And Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. We're going to get through all that in a few seconds. Got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. I'm Taz. I got Seth with me over here. We'll be right back. Break time.
All right, look, we'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. I got to smack a few people around over here on the 44th floor at CBS. So I'll be right back.
There's nothing better in life than someone bringing something to my door. You know, you don't feel like going to a restaurant. You don't feel like going to pick up your takeout. You don't feel like going to pick up your beer or your nachos or whatever it is that you don't want to leave the house for. You want to just chill. Well, I got the place for you, boys and girls. Delivery.com. It delivers the neighborhood to your door by connecting you with all your favorite and local businesses. And yo, check it out. It's really easy. Just enter your address online or on the mobile app and see who delivers to you. From restaurants to liquor stores, grocery stores, dry cleaners, delivery.com is your one-stop shop deal for local online ordering, man. Check it out. For example, it's quick, it's convenient, it's free to use on any device. So check this out. Well, like for me, I wanted some beer. I'm watching the game with my boys. I wanted some beer. I go on delivery.com. I get the beer delivered to me. Every purchase earns me delivery points, which you can redeem for great rewards like delivery.com credit or cash donations to charity. So all you got to do, because there's a discount for you, a first order promo code discount. I'm going to give you that promo code. It's TAZ. If you haven't used livery.com yet, sign up now and get 25% off your first order with my code TAZ at checkout. I'm telling you guys, jump on livery.com. It's the best way to get your neighborhood delivered to you. Use TAZ at checkout. All right, welcome back right here to Human Podcast Machine. This is Taz and reacting to WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view, the show last night, Monday. Depends on when you listen to this, but checking out the old Twitter, Seth, and I'm looking at, man, a lot mixed reviews on this pay-per-view. Mixed reviews.
Tough crowd, man. People have high expectations, or they just, I think a lot of people like to bury the WWE when they can.
Well, you kind of, you said you didn't like it. You kind of alluded to that, right?
I said I liked it. I didn't love it. It wasn't the best pay-per-view I ever saw. It's not going to stick in my brain forever.
So I'm putting words in your mouth when I say you said you didn't like it.
Yeah, because you actually said I did like it. I said I didn't love it.
All right. I could have sworn over coffee earlier when I bought you coffee at breakfast, you would tell me you didn't like it. I loved it.
Who has 7 concussions here? Who doesn't?
I've had 7.
Right. I've had maybe 1.
You might have 2 shortly.
I got that on record. Cool.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I threatened you on record. You could sue me, whatever. CBS could sue me.
Sue everybody.
Sue everybody. I don't care. Look at Johnny Brennan here. Sue everybody.
You hurt me with your words.
Just bring your shoes and your glasses when you sue me. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, other thing, before we talk about the show, I thought it was interesting. They did a great job. Michael Cole laid out, and Jerry Lawler did, along with JBL, laying out, and with a great graphic, laying out the week of the WWE Network, man. It was really cool.
Impressive.
I liked it. They're very impressive. You could see the programming starting to build on there. I'm looking forward to it. I tweeted very early this morning about this to Mick Foley's Cheap Pops on there. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've been pushing hard for Tough Enough. You see, that's been going on. Just a lot of stuff is really cool. It's very exciting stuff they got going on, I got to say.
On a much smaller scale, it's like, you know, like Play It, where start a new network, and you build. And
you got to build, right. Yeah. It takes time. That's totally the truth. So back to the actual show. So got to talk about the WWE Tag Team title matchup, where we saw new champions crowned in the New Day, which was... I was a little surprised. Some people on Twitter say, "Nah, the show was predictable." I don't think it was predictable. I don't think the show was predictable. I really don't.
Monday morning quarterbacks.
Well, yes, yeah. Exactly. And I got to say, Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, Great spot for them to be in coming into this match as champions against these guys in a New Day that were in heels but are heels and morphing into heels in an organic way because you, the audience, has decided for them to be heels. And the WWE creative, the way they're going with New Day and the way New Day is handling their promos and the reaction to when people chant, New Day sucks, when they're doing all that, the talent, those three cats are doing a great job of spontaneously reacting to it. There was also a little spot in the match where Cesaro and Tyson Kidd was stomping on one of the New Day in the corner. Can't remember which guy. And they were doing it in the cadence of boom, boom, boom. You know, in that
Day sucks.
And people were doing it, but I feel they should have did it more. Maybe this is something they've done before. Maybe they'll do it more going forward. Whoever works or wrestles the New Day, it's a cool spot. I got to say, it's easy to do. And people could definitely get behind it. It's always great when you can get people interactive. You don't see a ton of that anymore in the business. The days of The Rock or Steve Austin with promos and the New Day Outlaws, New Age Outlaws, I should say. Or I said New Day Outlaws. That could be a new team.
I like that.
Or DX and all that stuff. And that's just in those companies. But, like, you know, stuff I did with my Survive If I Let You and ECW and people getting along, getting people chanting your stuff. You know, it's important to get people involved in something like New Day. And there's a lot of characters on WWE's roster that people are getting involved with. With TNA, I got to say, there's none of that. There's no interactive. There's nothing. And I was there long enough, and I don't remember anyone gravitating. Unless you could give me somebody, I don't know.
I just think like the BDC is kind of making waves.
But are people chanting? And I'm a mark for the BDC. Yeah. But is anybody chanting along? You know, there's nothing really. Oh, maybe it's what's his name? Galloway's got some stuff going on. He's doing a lot of. He's talking about that. There's too much talk in wrestling to have him saying, but yet he's still talking a lot. Got it. Okay, I understand. So there's my my TNA knock moment. I guess that was it. But whatever. We'll back up. Back up a little bit. So now back to this WWE Tag Team title match. I got to say, I was saying to you, man, I think it was a good spot for Kidd and Cesaro. They came out, massive reaction. I don't know if it's just because people like them so much or they just hate the New Day so much. Whatever it is, it worked. And the men in the match all busted their asses. Great physicality in the match. Tyson Kidd's a tremendous athlete. No doubt about that. Shows you that. Got to say, Cesaro, it's freaky strong. You know, we've seen that. You know, we've seen this in the guy. Freaky strong. My only knock on Cesaro and Kidd would be, boys, you got to pick a gimmick. I don't know if it is the gimmick, but the hood, the Taz towel, the Beats headphones, the, you know, who's got a spray can? Who's walking out with a pair of sneakers in their box? I don't know. Who's got a little poodle with them? There's a parrot. There's so much going on.
Ooh, poodles and parrots, I like that.
Yeah.
Coco Beware's coming out.
I don't know what's going on. There's just a lot going on. Pick something. They take the hood off. They got the beats. They got the. They don't need. These guys are so talented. They don't need any of that stuff. They don't need anything.
They're trying, though.
Obviously, if you use the Taz towel, you're going to flop. We know that's going to happen.
Maybe go to a small indie promotion.
You got to work at a bingo hall like I did. And then maybe you'll get over. Just maybe. But no, I thought it was a great match. And those Cesaro and Kidd, they lost their titles in a great outing. And New Day, now it's going to be interesting. You think people hated on these dudes? Where do you see now that they're the champions? Wait till you see how much people hate the New Day now. It's great booking. I'm a fan.
Hopefully tonight. Hopefully we'll see a lot of heat tonight on them.
Think you might. What'd you think of the Divas match, bro? Nikki Bella versus Naomi. Naomi, just an insane athlete, dude.
She's stepping up. I mean, she seems to improve every week you see her, and I like the fact that she's kind of going heel now, and she attacked Paige and everything. It's a good move for her.
I think it is, too. I got to say,
she's a breakaway from the Usos.
Correct. I saw her backstage interview thing. I thought her promo's a little rough. Her talking's a little rough. I don't know if she's ready for that spot that they're giving her. I mean, she's learning on the job, in my opinion, from afar. I don't know. That's a little tough to learn on the job, and I'm surprised they're giving her that chance in front of the people like that. But she's just she's got a great look, and she's a tremendous athlete. She's highly talented. So
and a fantastic butt. Yeah,
but I gotta tell you, Nikki and her had a great match. Nikki's sister was yelling. Bree was on the outside. People were tweeting like crazy. Can you please stop saying, Nikki, come on? Nikki, come on! Nikki, come on!
I love the breeze. I love it.
No,
I do too.
I do too. But she kept saying the same thing, and people on Twitter were like, please stop.
Well, you know, as history buffs that we are, we know the most annoying guys are the people you hate the most, the Jimmy Harts and everything with the megaphone.
Of
like,
course.
You're hearing that stuff over and over again.
I had a guy blowing a whistle nonstop when I was working.
Oh, Fonzie,
Bill Alfonso.
The best.
Nonstop with the whistle.
How about Paul Heyman?
Suplex repeat.
You know.
Paul Heyman is annoying just in general. No, just that's. Forget about what you see on TV. No, I'm joking.
Seems just like yesterday that Naomi was a Funkadactyl.
Yeah, I know. Who remembers that besides you? Well, some people.
Well, let me tell you something. One of the best entrance songs of all time. Somebody call my mama.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was Ernest Miller. Someone tweeted. I remember who it was. I got to start writing tweets down. R.I.P. to Ernest Miller's music, you know, because now she got new music, Naomi. And she got new music, new attitude. She's a heel. She's an athlete. She's starting to get a push. And I hope the girl does great. Good for her. I mean, congrats to her. She's in there with a pro with Nikki Bella. I mean, Nikki won the match. I think people get over even in losses, and we talked about that in the past with Neville, as I just talked about, and I think that happened with Naomi here.
Well, it also helps when her sister kicks you in the face.
Well, let's not let the facts get away from the story.
Okay.
The Russian chain match. And I got to say, the company did a good job building up this, that it's the first time since the San Martino Ivan Koloff days, right, that they've done a Russian chain match on television. I know you're a history buff with this stuff. I know you're a big fan of WWF days and Ivan Koloff and stuff like that. You must have loved that, Seth, hearing that.
It is old. It's cool. Nice old school throwback. I like on Twitter how somebody asked you what makes it a Russian chain match, and I liked your answer.
Yeah, give my answer.
Well, obviously.
Wait, hold on. Somebody said, what makes a Russian chain match different than a regular chain match? And I said,
The chain is imported from Russia. Clearly, it's a Russian chain.
That chain is not made in the USA.
Steel from Russia.
The chain could be made in China, but they keep it in Russia.
Right.
That could be, right?
I don't know. In small print on the chain somewhere, made in China.
Made in China, but it houses in Russia. And now we're keeping it in Chicago for these two guys to grapple with it. I got it. I understand. No, but listen, I talked earlier about weaponry. Not sure if that's a word. Is that a word?
Yeah, it is.
Weaponry. It's a
weaponry,
word?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, weaponry sometimes in matches, you know, they don't cooperate. I said earlier in this show, ow, they don't. Sorry, I got a bad knee. Just trained my knee. You see that?
I did.
That was on air, too. That was me moving a chair. That's how bad my knee is, bro, when I'm sitting and it hurts.
Well, you did a fake sport for 15, 20 years.
Bro. The whole thing was fake. I know everything. My body's perfect because of that fake sport. So
you look good.
Yeah, thanks. that's why I'm doing radio. I got a face for radio and a mind for books. So the thing is, man, the chain, the leather strap, the steel chairs, the ladders, the tables. When you use weaponry, when you use furniture, as we call it, or you use gimmicks and props or whatever, these things sometimes don't know how to work in the match. They're not human. They're not trained. They're not licensed, right? So, you know, it there's more margin for error. So, now, in a Russia chain match, I've never been in a chain match, either Russia or just chain in general, but I have been in a leather strap match. And some of my lovely fans on Twitter, I was asking, I knew I wrestled Jerry Lawler on WWE pay-per-view, and I believe it was in Philly. I didn't know this. Fans let me know that I wrestled Lawler in a leather strap match where both of us had the strap to our wrist. I think that strap, the length of it was like 7 or 8 feet long, somewhere around there.
If it was 10 feet, it would be an Indian strap match. But it was 7 or 8, so it was only a leather strap match, right?
Is that in the rule book?
Yes. I have it right here, paragraph 3, section C, paragraph B.
Good job. So the always credible pro wrestling rule book. So I got to say, the thing when you work with these type of gimmicks in a match, and they're with you throughout the whole match, and you're tied to each other, you got to work around that thing. And you saw at one point in the match, I think it was Cena took a bump, and he kind of landed on the chain. He moved the chain out of the way. You know, you get hurt. You could twist an ankle. You could buckle your knee. I mean, it's dangerous, and people just say, oh, it's a leather strap match. Oh, they're doing a ladder match. Oh, they're doing a TLC match. Oh, they're doing a Russian chain match. Yeah, it's a lot harder than you think.
Well, the reason why people think that is because they got used to seeing it so much. You know,
correct.
With your old company, and then affecting the other companies, we got to see that all the time, so it became commonplace. Rather,
correct.
You know,
and I'm watching this, Seth. I'm like, all right, they're doing a Russian chain match. Two guys pushed to the hilt. They just had a huge match at WrestleMania. Now here they're on this match here, And now we find out they're going to work again now going forward. But anyway, meaning Rusev and Cena. So what happens is I'm like, okay, the fourth man in the match is the Russian chain. It's not a man, but you get my drift. It's the referee, it's the heel and the babyface, and then it's that chain. So if you watch this match again or haven't watched it yet, watch closely how tough these guys got to work around this thing. And it seems like they requested or maybe asked for a longer chain. You know, also in the rules in this match, you got to touch all four corners, you know, in a row. It can't be broken up by anything. And that's how the strap match I had with Lawler was the same way.
And the Texas Bull Rope match.
Texas Bull, thank you. I forgot to mention the Bull Rope match. Same concept. Okay, so some people are saying, well, did Cena actually win the match? Because what happened was, it was really cool at the end of the match. All three lights were lit because all three corners were touched by each man at one point. And then Cena, I'm trying to remember the spot, ends up hitting the AA, right? On Rusev. And then hits the fourth corner or something like that because Rusev was down for the AA. So did that break it up? Wasn't that the finish?
Well, they both. That's happened in the past too. It's kind of like if you know when finishes get used over and over. Not to knock it, but it just happens in those kind of matches. They have it when both guys are kind of hitting both corners. So it's like, oh, whoever gets that last corner is going to win.
No, I've done it. I know. Yeah. Thank you. I've all been right. There and done it. Thank
so you.
So
you guys did that same thing. We both hit both.
No, I don't remember what we did. To tell you the truth, I know I won because Raven interfered. Otherwise, I didn't win many matches at WWE unless I had interference. I've had guys interfere in costly matches. That's happened a lot, too. So, but no, anyway. And I've had matches where I just lost without even having anybody help me lose.
Thanks,
but,
Scott.
But, no, what I'm saying is if we're going to sell it, you got to touch all four corners in succession, right? You know, boom, 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 you know, without anything interrupting it. Is the AA interrupting that fourth corner that he touches?
I don't know. Yeah, when do they turn the lights off? That's right.
Whenever they want.
Oh.
But that's the way it should be. And again, we're overthinking this here. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like
it is what it is.
Don't matter. I thought the match was cool. I enjoyed it. I know you're a big fan of Rusev also.
Yes, and Lana.
But Lana, she was cool because people started chanting her name. She gets on the apron and starts waving everybody. That was funny. Bro, did you watch the match? Because you're looking at me like you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Of course I saw the match.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because you're looking at him like, well, she did? No, she did. She got on the apron. And then Rusev yelled at her.
You just pay more attention to Lana. That's why you're all excited. Yeah.
You know, and then she had to leave once Rusev said, hey, get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, it was great. She, like, stole the spotlight. They were chanting her name. So she's going to become a huge babyface if she isn't already. You know what I mean?
Hopefully she'll be able to keep that accent, too.
Yes. I'm sure she will. I don't think they're going to change that. I mean, but who knows? But I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was very cool. I liked them. Did you like this match?
Yeah, I liked it. I like watching that. Those guys work well together. I think Rusev brings the best out in John, too.
I think so.
Because he's stiff, so he's like, you know, you got to bring it.
I tell you, I've said it before about Rusev, man. For a guy his size, he's just so athletic and, you know, very, very talented guy. Really is. Big, thick, strong guy. All right. So look, let's take a quick break. One more break here. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk about the last man standing match and also the cage match for the WWE World Title. We'll be right back. I'm Taz. Sit tight. You know it's that time of year, man. You gotta appreciate mommy. You gotta appreciate your mom or your wife if your wife's a mom or someone that you know is a mom. So I got the best way for you to do that right now. Check it out. Pro Flowers is offering my listeners 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. Or make her day even extra special with an upgrade to the premium vase and add chocolates for just $9.99. More. Go to proflowers.com today. Make sure you use my code TAZ. So check it out. Proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and type in TAZ. I got to tell you, man, it's so easy, man. When I went on Pro Flowers and I ordered, and don't tell my wife now, when I ordered flowers for her and I told my son to do it, I went on proflowers.com and I clicked that microphone. I entered my own code, which was weird in itself, TAZ. The process is super easy and you can't go wrong with the price. Free glass vase, you're getting 100 blooms for a $19.99, under 20. $20. It's a great deal. So that's proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone and type in TAZ. Order today. This offer expires Friday, May 8th at midnight. Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, yo, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code TAZ, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and we are going over Extreme Rules, and we are in the, we're in the tail end right here, the home stretch, so I'm going to talk about a little bit of the Last Man Standing match with the Big Show versus Roman Reigns. And I got to tell you, I thought that this match was going to be a stinker. I would think on paper, these two men working with each other would not be good. I was surprised. I think they utilized the amount of time they were given, because they were given a plethora of time. And they utilized the fact that they could do whatever they had to do. And they did that. There was just so much gimmicks involved with this and table bumps, and the one big bump to just jump right ahead was that choke slam that Roman Reigns received by the Big Show. The false spot, how they went into it, the way they laid out this match, the agent or Big Show, Reigns, whoever did this, the timing of each move, and then crescendo to that spot where we thought it would be ended, that choke slam into the double tables was unbelievable. Great bump by Roman Reigns. Great camera work too. Did you see that, dude?
Oh yeah, I think, you know, this, like you said, we were expecting this match to maybe be a stinker, but these guys needed this. They needed to step it up for it to be entertaining, and they did. You forgot all about
both
the
guys.
Fact that we've watched both of them. Yeah, you forgot all about all the, you know, the fact that we've been watching this for a while.
Right, I agree.
They made it fresh.
How about the stuff by the announce desk? I mean, you know, we saw Big Show clear the announce desk off. We don't, maybe he was in a choke slam or do something to range through the table, but man, it was just, they did so many, like three or four different spots over there by that table. It was great. And great stuff. And then I even tweeted something like, just when we thought we've seen enough, everything done with an announce table by Seymour Roman. I don't remember the last time I've seen somebody pick up, like tilt over the announce desk and throw it on someone.
And he made it look heavy.
It is heavy. Yeah. I've worked with that same desk. That thing is very heavy.
And Lawler did a good job of, like, he looked like a little concerned. You know?
He probably was. Yeah. And I'm telling you this too. And I've said this at different times during my show here in the past. Most of the times when talent is going to come by those desks and do anything, the announcers do not know. And they don't tell you. And the reason why they don't tell you, you would think, well, that's not safe for the announcers. Well, that's not the case. They don't tell you because they want you to get a real natural reaction on your face. As to your point, Seth, you said you saw Lawler's face. He probably didn't know. So they want to get a real reaction. I mean, there's been so much stuff when I was in WWE that's happened by that desk that I had no clue was going to happen. Neither did Michael Cole.
Did you ever get hit? Like, did anybody ever fall on you or anything, wrestlers, inadvertently or anything?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, a couple times. I mean, I think it was one match with Morrison, and somebody did a big high spot off the apron, and I might have been Morrison, landed right on the desk, like basically in my lap, and we went down. You know, like I was, you know, it's fine. I laughed later. It might have been Morrison. I can't remember now. Because I was joking with the guy saying, dude, I could have hooked you in my choke because it was like perfect. He like landed like right back to back to my stomach. And I'm like, whoom, I could hook him. But yeah, no, that would happen. It's part of the game. I mean, they don't tell you. I mean, and I don't know, maybe things have changed. I have not been in the WWE in a lot of years. So maybe things have changed. But I got to say, I thought that I really enjoyed the match. I thought this match was going to suffer. And it didn't. And it showed a real good, hard-ass side to Roman Reigns. Big Show showed he'll do whatever it takes to entertain and put his body out there. You know, he's not some young kid. He's been around a long time. His body's beat up. He's a big giant, literally. So, you know, I mean, I tip my cap to both these men.
And, you know, and like you said, Big Show's been around a long time. It's hard for him to stay fresh as a character. So it's to do something like this, take it to the next level, you know, people respect and appreciate it.
I totally agree. I mean, you hand the torch over. You pass the torch. You just this guy going toe-to-toe like this and taking out the big giant like that. It was just very impressive. I was very impressed with it.
And Reigns was doing that laugh and smiling thing again. People don't like that, but I think it's part of his character.
I think it's naturally him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a swaminess about him, you know, and I think it's naturally him. And I don't use the word swami much, but when I do, you need to pay attention.
I picture you with a turban on your head.
Swami. Yeah, so only thing I got to say, I will throw a flag on. Flag being thrown, I got to say, I was a little taken aback, surprised, that at the end of the match, that Big Show, they showed him selling that he was like awake. He wasn't the last man standing. He lost the match. The way you win the match is you got to, if you don't make the 10 count, you're done. And Big Show obviously didn't. He was crushed by this table. But I would have thought that Show would have been knocked out dead, not been awake, and he was. You know what I mean? I thought that would win.
No, but that's why he stood on the table, so he couldn't get up. I mean, but maybe he could have tried to get up a little bit, you know? I thought he put the table on top of him and stood on it, so he couldn't get up.
Okay, but wouldn't a table, well, I guess the table did fall him. I was going to say, wouldn't it knock you out, but,
no, you he kind of just, yeah, he kind of, it didn't, like, fall on his head or anything. He just kind of leaned it on him, you know?
That's a big-ass heavy table, though,
dude. That's a big-ass heavy guy.
I know. I've encountered with both the table and the Big Show, so I'm aware. So you're saying he wasn't knocked out, hence why he was still awake. Okay. All right. So, hey, this is a history-making moment right here.
What happened?
Well, I'm kind of wrong. I made a mistake. I was wrong.
No, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. No, he should have been out. Next time, Show, close your eyes. Take a nap.
No, I you make a good point. He stood on the table. That's a good point. I agree. Okay, boom. That was good stuff. I liked it. And I got to say, WWE World title match with Rollins versus Orton. Steel cage, the RKO was banned. Kane was the gatekeeper of the cage. Man.
But was it banned?
But was it? Well, that's the thing. So I mean, take us through. Tell me your opinion about the way this finish went down. It was crazy. Kane got involved. Well, J&J security got involved. Kane got in the ring. He double chokeslammed them. Chokeslammed Randy Orton. Chokeslammed Seth Rollins. Kane really, and I'm leaving out a bunch of the stuff in the match. I'm trying to move on here.
Well, Kane got his shots in and also didn't want to totally betray the authority. So he's like, Seth Rollins, you're a punk, but I got to do the right thing at the end of the day.
Right. And then correct. So then Kane takes Rollins' arm, covers Randy Orton. Randy, false finish. He kicks out. Shocks everybody. RKO on Kane by Orton. Great pop for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because people want to see Orton hit the RKO, and he hit it on Kane, though. Not the official guy in the match.
How about Rollins took a pedigree from Orton? That's a little FU to Triple H.
Good point.
And he gave him a pedigree and kicked out of that.
Good point. You're backing up, though. I'm going forward. You're backing up. All right. The car's going forward. Boop, you're backing the car up. You're going forward, and the car's backing up. That's bad for the transmission.
Oops.
Not the Tazmission, the transmission. So then Seth Rollins, RKO on Randy Orton. Now that's where people are throwing flags. RKO's banned, right? I mean, Jerry Lawler basically called it out, said, hey, the RKO's banned. JBL said, yeah, but it's banned, but only because Orton cannot use it on Rollins. Gray area.
And what are you going to do to Rollins? You going to strip him from the title?
Well, listen, gray area leads to good booking to Monday Night Raw tonight.
Yeah, got it.
Because the announcers did the right thing. They're asking questions going off the friggin' air, baby. That's what you want to do. And the talent and the creative and the booking gave them questions to ask. Everyone does a good job, leads people to watch this show this evening.
Good point.
Like it or not.
I'm learning.
I'm bringing you behind the scenes of how this bitch is done, brother. So
human podcast machine.
I'm letting you know how it's done, and that's why that was done like that. So I schooled you, boys and girls. I schooled you. Enjoyed that match. Definitely did. I thought Kane really upped his game big time in that match.
As a character as well.
No doubt he did. I mean, guy's been around as many years, and he's a great guy, and he's always in great shape, and he's a freak monster. So Seth Rollins looked awesome. Randy Orton did too. The whole thing, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
You know, we're talking about three guys who've been in the company 10-plus years, Big Show, Randy Orton, and Kane. And people were getting a little tired of Big Show and Kane for a minute. And, you know, you got to take your hat off to the booking because they were able to reinvent these guys a little bit or freshen them up a little bit. And Randy's taking his new role and is doing great, too. I mean, Randy's always had, like, kind of hot and then comes down a little bit and gets hot again. I mean, he's tremendous talent.
Oh, he totally is. He's one of the best of all time. And I think people are still ripping myself, you and Mike Tenay, not putting them on the best current wrestlers of all time on our list on the Fantasy Draft Edition of Human Podcast Machine Top 10 Shows. But again, for those that didn't hear it, the reason why we didn't have Orton, and again, we had our own separate private kayfabe list, and none of us had Orton on it, it's because at that time, Orton was not on an active roster. He was out. He was hurt, or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
Can I drop some news for people?
Sure.
We're going to do another current list again. But we're gonna have a refresher.
So this is your show. So you're deciding what we do creatively.
No, you told me.
What?
Oh. And I'm just letting people know now.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. We were going to have a new, soon-to-be, current... Good job, Seth. We are going to have a new current top 10 coming soon.
And we talked about it, and we feel like we didn't talk about who would be on our list. We just talked about how our list would be different.
Correct. And speaking of fantasy draft editions, in next month we're going to drop most top 10 underrated all time. Okay, and we had fans via my Twitter send to an email address, which I'm going to ask you to give that email address shortly on here for those that didn't see it. So I hope you know it in your brain, Seth.
Know it. I wrote it.
Okay, sweet. So we have people emailing their suggestions. So when we do top 10 shows, I want you guys and gals out there, send an email to the email Seth is going to give you, or that's on my Twitter that I dropped, and send your top 10, whatever we're discussing that month, and I'll tweet out what it's going to be. And then I will read some of your suggestions on where certain guys or gals should fall in those top 10s. Please, Seth, hit the email for folks to know.
hpmtaz@cbs.com.
And that's Taz with 1Z. So HPM, like Human Podcast Machine, T-A-Z, 1Z, all caps, at cbs.com.
Speaking of fantasy draft editions, we got some, and I agree with the people on Twitter, between yourself, myself, and Mike Tenay, we did not even give honorable mention to the New Age Outlaws.
I think I mentioned the New Age Outlaws, didn't I? No, I didn't.
I don't think maybe so. Maybe not. You did, maybe briefly. I mean, very successful.
That's a mistake.
Big team.
How do all three of us make that mistake?
I don't know.
Understand that. Well, next fantasy draft edition show, we'll bring that up. I'm going to mention that to Mike on the air because Mike's obviously a lot smarter than me and definitely you. So, so that's it. That's a wrap. Look, I hope you guys enjoyed this breakdown of WWE Extreme Rules. I did enjoy the show. I did. Seems like Seth, you hated it, but then you end up liking it because I told you to. I don't know what it was.
This is fiction again.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Come on.
No, it was good stuff, man. Good stuff. I really enjoyed the show. For real. $9.99, $9.95, whatever. How can you bitch about that? Seriously. It's great stuff.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Agree.
Well, look, that's a wrap. That's it. So stay tuned this week. More shows will be dropping on my Human Podcast Machine. Different reactions, different shows, all this other stuff. I'm always doing stuff. I'm the hardest working man in the radio business. Remember that, boys and girls. My name is Taz. For Seth, I'm Taz. You're not. Goodbye.